Blog Talk Radio.
It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Ian Adams, a servant of God. And this is a day that God has made. We all can find something to be glad and rejoice in. God is truly in the blessing business, and God is taking care of us all the time, working things out together for our good, leading and guiding us into righteousness, delivering us, blessing us. And for that we should be grateful, and we should thank him, worship him, praise him, which is only our reasonable service. And our lesson tonight is going to be 5 crowns for the believers. And there's many scriptures in the Bible where it talks about the crowns that we'll receive. So it's not just one printed or one established text for the night, but we're going to review the places in the Bible where the scriptures are found. There's so much going on and so much injustice and everything happening in the world today. The young lady that was killed by the police, you know, we want to believe if you're doing what is right and, you know, you're not getting in trouble and you're where you're supposed to be, that everything would be all right. But you see, the evil that's in this world can find you anywhere. It'll look you up and set you up. And that's beyond our control. The young lady was in school and she was doing what she was supposed to do, and she gave up some of her time in school to come and help her family. And she, as the reports say, was with her nephew, and she lost her life. So we have to pray for that family, because I'm sure it's a hard pill to swallow. And we have to pray for our city, our state, our country, and for the countries around the world, because we're living in perilous times. But God has us. He makes no mistakes. And we have to be prayerful for one another. At this time, we're going to have a song. And for those who often tell me how much they love the singing of Minister Elyria Mackey, she's going to lead us in a hymn today. Well, not lead us, but perform a song for us tonight. And then she's going to bring us to the throne of grace. And I thank God for her, because she accepted the invitation. And as you all can see, as well as I can see, she's always ready when called upon to do something for God. So at this time, Sister Mackey?
I'm here.
Yes. You, your mic is open, and you could come to us any way that you would like to on the night. And y'all, everybody, be prayerful along with Sister Mackey. Minister Mackey, I'm sorry, but I knew when she was a sister, and now she's a minister. But we all are ministers. But Minister Mackey, your mic is open.
Any way you address me, I'll answer.
Thank you,
Praise
Lord.
Praise God.
I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When it's all over. When it's all over, I shall wear a crown. I shall wear a crown. When it's all over. When it's all over, I'm going to put on my robe, tell the story how I made it over. I'm going to put on my robe, tell the story how I made it over. I shall see his face. I shall see his face. When it's all over down here. When it's all over, we're going to put on our robes. We tell the story how we made it over. Yes, we will. We're going to put on our robes, tell the story how we made it over. Soon as I get home on the other side, oh God, soon as I get home, I shall wear a crown. Yes, we will. I shall wear a crown. Crown. When it's all over down here. When it's all over, we're going to put on our robes, tell our stories, how we made it over. Yes, we will. We're going to put on our robes, tell our stories, how we made it over. We get home. Yes, oh God. Thank you, Lord. God, we realize that this world is not our home. We are only here temporarily, oh God. God, we just come to thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for those that you are raising up, oh God. We thank you for those that are on the prayer list, oh God, that you're working through and working for, working on their behalf, oh God. We just come to tell you that we thank you, Lord. God, we just come to tell you that we just come to delight ourselves in you, because your word declares if we delight ourselves in you, you will give us the desires of our heart. And our heart desires just to please you, to be more like you and less of self, oh God. God, we thank you because your word declares that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And you made us lively stones, oh God. And we are alive in you, Lord. And we stand firm on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. because he came to redeem us back to the Father. And God, you said that we are sealed until the day of redemption. And we thank you. God, we just come lifting up Minister Diane tonight, Lord God, that she would come forth and break your bread, oh God. And God, you say with all our getting to get an understanding. And I ask that you would open up the eyes of our understanding this evening, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we just want to live your word out, oh God. We want to walk your word. God, we want our speech to be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we know how to answer every man, oh God. God, we thank you, Lord God, for this land that we living in, oh God, this land that we walk upon, because wherever we plant our feet, we realize that we are standing on holy ground, oh God. God, and we thank you for tonight, oh God, this Wednesday night, that we can come together and break bread and get more of you and less of self, because it is your word that cleanses us. It's your word that purifies us. It's your word that sanctifies us. And your word declares that it will go out and it will not return back void. It will accomplish everything it was set forth to do. And you said your word is sharp and quick and powerful than any two-edged sword. It'll cut down to the marrow of the bone, oh God. It's a discerner of every thought. And we thank you for your word tonight, Lord God. We thank you in advance for breakthrough. We thank you in advance for strength. We thank you in advance for deliverance, oh God. We thank you in advance for the souls that you will save, oh God. We thank you, Lord. We give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. And we just lift our sister up as she brings forth the word. Oh God, we thank you for Minister Diane, Lord God. Increase, oh God. We thank you, Lord, because we recognize this outer man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. So we thank you, Lord, and we call it all done in Jesus' name, that we all increase in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy.
And I just want to say thank you again, Minister Ileri Mackey, coming to us from Boothville, Louisiana. Thank you so much. And God bless you.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm going to say the name of the lesson and again. And as I stated earlier, we are using a lot of scriptures tonight. I posted all of the scriptures that you could read to see the message that I'm bringing you tonight is real. You know, the old people used to always say that they were sending up timber for their mansion in heaven, and some say they was trying to earn crowns, earn stones for their crowns. But the crowns that God will deliver to the believers in eternity are real. I sent you the scriptures, and we're going to expound on them tonight. But right now I'm going to do a background, and I want you to know, you know, how I thought of this lesson. You guys, if you heard and remember, last week before last, I graduated from a program, a teaching program, where I would have a certificate to teach. And one of the questions came up was about the five crowns, and it made me go back and study them. And some of the people in the class was excited and wanted to, you know, have some paperwork on it, so I prepared it. And as I prepared it for them, I thought it would be good for you and us on tonight. You know, many times when I teach, I always say that Jesus is coming back. And I never leave out the fact that when he comes back, he's going to have his rewards in his hand. So if I look at some scriptures tonight, for those who have their pencil and paper, and I know that that's all of you, you could write these scriptures down, but as I read them, you can, you know, listen to them. But in Matthew 16 and 27, it says, for the Son of Man, Matthew 16 and 27, if you're turning your Bibles to that, it says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. That proves to us that when Jesus come back, rather just hearing what someone say it, I brought you to the word of God. And then you should write these scriptures down and go research for yourself. You see, there's another scripture in Revelation 22 and 12. Revelation 22 and 12 says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. I give every man according to his work shall be. See, it's real, y'all. And then if we look at 1 Corinthians 3 and 8, 1 Corinthians 3 and 8, it says, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. So this is like telling us all of us have a different job. We all in the body of Christ, we many members, but we have different jobs. They say he that planted and he that watered are one, one in the body of Christ. Many, many members, you know, but being on one accord, we one. And it goes on to say, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. You may have wondered what the rewards will be. How do we earn them? And what we do with them once we receive them? Another thing you might wonder, will everyone have and receive a crown? Or will others not receive one? You see, but the Bible speaks of five crowns that will be given. Remember, these crowns are not for salvation. I want you to remember that. You're not working for the crown to be saved. But because you are saved, you should work for the crown. You see, because if you are at the appearing at the site where the crowns will be given out, your salvation has already been achieved. You see, these crowns are rewards for work done in your body here on earth. You see, after we were saved, we have the opportunity to win rewards. And y'all say, you know, like God wants us on a point system. Think about it. Everything that you do that the word of God asks you to do has something for you. Everything that God has established is for you. His grace for you. His mercy for you. Deliverance for you. Healing for you. God has established blessings and everything that we'll ever need to live a righteous life here on earth. So we're talking about the five crowns tonight, but remember, there are many more rewards, and there's all kind of blessings. But just for tonight's sake, we're going to speak on the five. And remember what I just said. After we were saved, we have the opportunity to win rewards or crowns which will be presented to us immediately after the rapture. And if we go to 1 Corinthians 4 and 5, 1 Corinthians 4 and 5 says, therefore, judge nothing before the time. You know, that's why I think this scripture is when we sometimes look at others and want to point a finger, think what they're doing is going to keep them out of salvation, or how many times they do it, or why they keep doing it. They should be over that, and we say that. But the Bible tells us right here, 1 Corinthians 4 and 5 says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. You know how they always told us, the old people say, what you do in the light, what you do in the dark going to come to the light? See, God is going to be the one that reveals all of that. And it will make manifest the counsel of your heart. See, God said, I don't pay that much attention to lip service, because anything could come out the mouth, and man could say anything he want at the time for whatever reason. He said, but God will manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise for God. You might have been doing a lot, but not from your heart. God himself will make the presentation in what will be the biggest reward ceremony ever in the history of mankind. Can you imagine it? That will be, oh, happy day. This will take place at the Bema Seat. You guys remember when I taught on the judgment seat of Christ, it's also called the Bema Seat. And it's not the kind of judgment that normally comes to mind. Because you got to remember, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, your salvation has already been established. You're not going there to determine if you saved or not saved. You're at the judgment seat of Christ. Not that your sins will be judged, because they were all removed by the blood of Jesus. But this is where God's going to judge your deeds, your heart, and your works. The New Testament lists five categories in which crowns will be awarded to qualified believers. Revelation 4 and 10 and 11 say, we will lay our crowns before the throne. See, one of the questions I started up with, what will we do with the crowns? We will lay our crowns before the throne. Since the rapture takes place in Revelation 4 and the judgment seat of Christ follows immediately, we apparently think that this would happen right after. So that's why we say that the crowns will be given after the rapture, because after we raptured, we're going to the judgment seat of Christ. You see, 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15 implies that everyone will not receive crowns, since it's not just what you do, but it will be governed by your motive, your intent, and the attitude for doing what you did will also be judged. God looks at the heart. And you got to remember, only those things, come on, y'all, what you do for Christ is going to last. You see, everything is going to be tried in the fire, and everything is not going to last through the burning. But those things done for Christ will last even through the fire. So you need to pay attention how you do, what you do, when you do, how you do it, and why you do it. Because God judged the heart. You see, the only acceptable motive is pure gratitude for what we have been given. And according to John 15 and 5, our efforts will not be promoted by the Lord. Our efforts will and are promoted by the Lord and done in his strength. See, so we have to be thankful for that. If you got a gift, it came from God. Didn't God give you the strength to operate the gift? He even set up the opportunities for you to use the gift for him. But sometimes we don't do what he asks us to do. And just as well as there's rewards to be won, there's also the loss of rewards. And you'll know it when you get there because what you refuse to do. The Bible teaches us, Paul talks all the time, don't let no one make you lose your rewards. Because we have to realize that everything is by God's grace and everything through Christ Jesus. I imagine this is what will cause us to lay our newly received crowns at the feet of Jesus. Now, although the scripture do not state it specifically, it is likely that we will all follow the example of the 24 elders in Revelation 4 and 10. Because what the 24 elders in Revelation did, they were casting their stones, their crowns, at the feet of Jesus, bowing, and honoring him, and they placed their crowns at his feet. And that's why I say we will probably present them to the feet of Jesus, which would only seem right because of everything he has done. And everything we have done is because of his grace. So the honor would be due him. That's our background about the crowns. And we're going to look at the first crown, which is the crown of life. And the scripture that I had you to read was James 1 and 12. It said, blessed is the man that endured temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. And Revelation make mention in Revelation 2 and 10. It says, fear none of those things which shall suffer, which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that you may be tried. And ye shall have tribulations for 10 days. But thou faithful unto death, be faithful, and I will give thee a crown of life. You see, a crown of life is for those believers who endure trials, tribulation, severe suffering, even unto death. You see, this crown is also referred to as the martyr's crown. Y'all know that a martyr is someone that died for their beliefs, and Christian martyrs died for their beliefs. And for Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said he will give this crown to those who undergo severe hardship, testing, tribulations, and are physical debt on his behalf. And you don't have to be martyred to get this crown. But if you receive in persecution and trials and severe hardships and testing and tribulation, you'll receive the crown. And if you stay steadfast to the things of God, not let nothing turn you around. You see, probably being willing to die for your faith in God would be the ultimate sacrifice. But things you're doing in your life is sacrifices as well that you may be doing. And some people don't sacrifice nothing for God. It is the greatest act of courage and love that one can show God. Christians who have been martyred for their faith throughout history will not only be given this crown of life, but other rewards. Once they enter heaven, God the Father will honor each one's trials and tribulations and thus be rewarding them accordingly. Glory be to God. The next crown is the crown of glory. The scripture where that is posted in the Holy Bible is 1 Peter 5:2-4. And this scripture said, feed the flock of God which is among you. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willing. Hallelujah. Feed them. Be willing to share the word of God. Be willing to help somebody along the way. And it says, not for filthy lucre, but of a steady, ready mind, neither as being lord over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock, the way you live. You know, they say they won't read the Bible, but they'll read you. And the fourth verse said, and when the chief shepherd, which is Jesus Christ, shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You see, this crown is called the pastor's crown, the under-shepherd crown. It'll also be given to ministers who faithfully feed the flock of God. This probably could also include preachers, teachers, Sunday school teachers, missionaries, and all those who teach the word of God to their prospective ministries. And those of you who don't feel like you have a particular ministry, but you're going and share the word of God, whenever you learn the word of God, you go out and share it to someone. All of this is you. Are you sharing God's word with someone else? You see, this crown may signify the importance and sacrifice of bringing others into the way of God. You see, God wants those who are saved to grow and learn as much as they can about him, his Son, and his Holy Spirit, and to do that as a mature believer and act like you're going out and willingly ready to teach others. I come to tell you tonight, y'all keep calling Bible study week after week and learning everything for the word of God is not for you to keep. The Bible says, freely have you received, freely you should give. You see, God can use you to teach and shepherd others. God can use everybody. God shows you the extreme importance that he is placing on those who teach and preach the word. Because he say, go ye therefore. Jesus said he can't come back till everybody have heard the word of God. And we as saved Christians should be the arms, the eyes, and the legs, and the hands of Christ if he was still on earth walking. Come on, y'all. Being willing to teach and educate others after they're saved. Remember, they're babes. And I don't know y'all ages, and I don't know how long you've been on the battlefield, but I do know maturity don't come with age. and excellent don't come with time. But they are babes. Being willing to teach and educate others after they have been saved. They're looking for direction, y'all. They need y'all. It's one of the greatest things you can do for them this side of heaven. That's the crown of glory. Then the third crown that I'm going to speak on tonight is the crown of rejoicing. The scripture that you can find the crown of rejoicing in the Holy Word of God is 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20. And the scripture says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Saying, do you rejoice? Do you have joy in your heart knowing that Jesus is coming back? Do you earnestly and patiently look for his return? You know, the Bible says those who say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come," will be blessed. You know, all of us want to live all of the days that God give us here on earth. And everybody want to receive eternal life, and you can't get eternal life till you die from this life. But nobody's ready to die. We understand that, and we know that. But somewhere in our heart, we should welcome, because this life is only temporal. And if you get 10 more years and Jesus come, you're still going to die. And then however many years on earth God gives you, is a blessing. God don't make no mistakes. So we all have the responsibility to pray for the return of Jesus Christ. That's the rejoicing. That's our hope. That's our joy. And when we do that with our whole heart, then we receive a crown of rejoicing. You see, this crown will be for those who faithfully are witnessing to the saving grace of God and lead souls to Christ. This crown has also been named the soul-winning crown. And you see, when you win souls for Christ, you're helping Christ to come back. And that's why it's called a soul-winning crown. And when you rejoice in what God is doing and you share it with others, it helps to win souls. It seemed to indicate here that God will be giving a crown to those who have been witnessing to others and leading people to Christ, telling others about the grace of God, telling others about Jesus. It's the greatest thing that you can do for someone while here on earth. When you help someone to be led to the Lord, you have just been used as a vessel of God. God will judge you by your willingness. Come on, y'all. By your willingness and desire to be used by him to witness to others. Watch this. It's never predicated, never, on how many actually get saved through you meeting them. Because remember that we are to water, but God gives the increase. It's not our job to save anyone, but it's our job to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It's our job to share the gospel one to another. But it's not our job. We don't have to argue with somebody because they're not ready. Because you got to remember, you didn't get ready till you got ready. but it's our job to share the word of God. There are many Christians who are simply too busy to be willing to be used by God to try to leave others to the Lord. God can fit, and God do fit, and I tell you guys this all the time. You see, okay, watch how this go. There are many Christians who are simply too busy to be willing to be used by God to try to leave others to him. But watch this. God can and do fit opportunities for you in your life to witness and work for him if you allow him. Come on, y'all. We talking about the Almighty God who created 24 hours in a day. God is not ignorant. God knows if you got a family. God knows you have a job. God knows what you have to do. So you mean to tell me God is sitting on his throne engaged 24 hours a day for you to do what you had to do for you and do what you needed to do for him, and yet there's no way for it to happen? It's not about the amount of time. It's how you prioritize your time. You see, it's always easy to say, I don't. But you got, let me tell you the mistake. And let me tell you what I just read. God fits the opportunity for you in your life to witness and to do his work. See, it ain't going to be no excuses. It could be somebody you meet when you went in the bathroom. God fits the opportunities if you're willing to allow him and to be led by him. You know, you have unsaved friends, family members, co-workers, and et cetera. Only the ones who depend exclusively on God's grace can long for the Lord and helping them to achieve what he wants to be achieved through them. You know, there's a scripture in Philippians 2 and 13, I'm almost sure. It said, God said, it's I that will you to do his good pleasures. God ain't asking you to be able to perform. It is I that work it in you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The scripture says, it's Philippians 2 and 13, it is I that work it in you to will and to do my good pleasures. God is telling you he's doing the work. He's setting up the opportunity for you to be used. So you can't talk that no time talk to God. I mean, you could talk it. It's not going to hold up. Since we know we can never measure up, we could never measure up. So we should long for the day when we can no longer fall short. When Jesus come back, it's pure joy. No more suffering, no more pain. We're not looking for that. We can't achieve pure joy until Jesus come back. So we just think about it. Everybody examine and decide. I'm just giving the information. The fourth crown is the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearance. Those who love the appearance of Christ, who anxiously wait and look forward to the day when he returns for his saints. This crown is given to those who have lived a good and righteous life for God while living down here on earth. You see, first, if you are a believer, you have been made righteous before God the Father as a result of Jesus dying. Now, we know none of us could do anything and get to be righteous enough. But once Jesus died on the cross, because of his death, it extended the righteousness of God towards us. This means that the righteousness of Jesus has been imputed to us. You see, second is that it refers to us living a good, righteous life for God the Father with what time we have left down here. You see, there are Christians who are righteous before God. Now, you might say, how can I say that? You got to remember, Jesus took away your sins. God, because of Jesus' death, God's righteousness has been imputed into us. Now, watch this. When God looks at us, we are righteous before his eyes. God said, when I look at you, I can only see my son. So Christians who are righteous before God the Father as a result of being saved, which is called justification through the blood of Jesus Christ, but they are not living righteous lives in their actions, their words, their deeds, and their behavior. You see, which is the process of sanctification. See, we are in a land of the dying, being prepared for the land of the living, and only those things we do in the body for Christ will last. We're in the sanctification process, and we will be in the sanctification process until we get in the glorified process when Jesus comes. You see, there are some people who may be saved in God's eyes, but who continue to still do evil works that unsaved people do. We all have flaws, weaknesses, and certain temptations that we may struggle with. It is not your perfection, but your direction that God is looking for. He wants to know that you're pressing towards the mark. He want to know you committed to him. You see, the Bible say we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all know right from wrong. Come on, y'all. God, watch this. God just want each one of us to choose to do the right thing because it's just the right thing to do. When it is all said and done, these Christians will probably be receiving some of the greatest reward that God can hand out once they enter heaven. To live a righteous life for God will really be worth your while, as you will definitely be given this crown by God himself once you enter heaven. And the last crown tonight is called the incorruptible crown. It's also called the victor's, V-I-C-T-O-R apostrophe S, crown. And it's also called everlasting victory. You see, the scripture for that was 1 Corinthians 9:24-25. Know ye not, they which run in a race run all, but one receive the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempted in all things. Now, they do it to obtain corruptible. That's saying, like, if you're just living for the things on this side of the earth, you're just living to obtain the luxury, the pride, the money, the women, the whatever, the riches. They say they're going to receive a corruptible crown, but we will receive an incorruptible crown. This is also called the imperishable crown. The inheritance of the believer is described as incorruptible. This crown is given to believers who faithfully run the race, who crucify selfish desires in the flesh daily, and point men to Christ. God calls some people to do things that will require some sacrifice in a way that they live and conduct their lives. You see, some people will be called to be missionaries in a far off, in a poor country. They will have to sacrifice the money, their possession, their lifestyles that they could have had if they had stayed in their own country. This verse also implies that these people will also receive this crown for sacrifices that they were willing to make for God in order to successfully complete the call and the mission God had for them to do. Now you got to look at this, because God is an equalizer. God not asking everybody to be a missionary. And he used, you know, I'm using the example of a missionary, because a missionary makes many sacrifices going into them, you know, undeveloped countries and, you know, living in the jungle and doing these things. But whatever God has given you to do, it may call for some sacrifices in your life. It could be something simple like rearranging your time that you don't think you have enough. What I'm saying, this verse also implied that these people received this crown for the sacrifices they were willing to make for God in order to successfully complete the call and mission that God had called them to do. God ain't asking you to do what I do. But what he's asking you to do, you could be the best at it, because it's tailor-made for you. So what I'm saying, basically run whatever race that God has set out for you and be the best you can for God. See, that's when it gets personal. God not asking you to be Billy Graham. He's not asking you to stand on the corners. Basically, run whatever race that God has set out for you to do, and be the best you can for God. Be willing to make whatever sacrifice there may be to successfully complete the mission that God has set out for you. What God has for you is for you. Not, you know, people use this, like to say, what God has for me is for me. They're talking about all of the blessing and all of the joy and all of this. But the work that he has for you is for you too. Tailor-made. And he has provided all of the provisions for you to accomplish it. Dispensation of no excuses. But there's a crown waiting for you. Now, how easy could God have made this? That, you know, your work necessary or your mission is tailor-made. He's not asking you to do what everybody else do. but he's asking each one of us to do something. And he told us in what I said earlier that he provides the opportunities. And he has provided all of the provisions for you to accomplish it. What a mighty God we serve. Everybody, I believe, will receive one crown. But there are some people who's going to receive all five crowns. And, you know, when we over there, one got five crowns and one got two because of the incorruptible, all corruptible is going to be gone, there will be no jealousy. But God rewards them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. So as I close tonight, these are the five crowns listed in the New Testament. Some of us may receive, like I say, all the crowns. And I believe the incorruptible crown, because they say when Jesus comes, and if we hear when the rapture comes, we're going to be taken up in a twinkling of the eye, and we're going to take off the corruptible and put on the incorruptible. And Peter talks about the incorruptible being our inheritance. So, you know, all of us will be made incorruptible. And like I said above, or before, there's nothing we can do that will bring the Lord more pleasure. It's nothing we could do to bring more pleasure to the Lord than to reward us as we strive for these crowns. That's pleasing God. Come on now. He gave us the provision. He's given us the opportunities. He's given us the word of God to tell us what he wants us to do. And as we strive in our obedience, it pleases God. You know, plenty of times people say, hold up your hand and worship God. We worship God by our obedience. And after all that God has done for us, it doesn't seem like too much to ask, does it? And that's our lesson for tonight. And each one of us have to evaluate ourselves. And I just wanted you to know that there are five crowns, but there are many more rewards that God has in store for his people. And some people have told me in the past, Sister Diane, I don't even care how I make it into heaven, long as I get there. Long as Peter opened the door, I don't care if I slide under the gate. I don't care if I, you know, but all that's ignorance. And everybody won't receive five crowns. And you got to remember, everything ain't for everybody. But there's also the opportunity to miss your reward. And that's what I think is the danger zone. Not how many you gain, but what you may lose. That's our lesson for tonight. If anyone have any comments, anyone want to ask a question, anyone want to ask for prayer, anyone want to give encouragement, anyone would like to lead us out in prayer, really, you could press the one button on your phone. And I thank you guys, because some of you guys, you know, I know your name, I know your number, and every time Wednesday night come and as the calls come into the studio and I see your number, you know, I receive joy because I know you're on the line, and it encourages me. So that's my word of encouragement to each and every one of you, that when I see that you call in, it gives me encouragement to go on in the mighty name of Jesus. If there's nothing that anybody would like to say, nothing no one would like to ask, at this time I'm going to just do a benediction. And we're going to close for tonight. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll meet back on next week. Same time, same station, same studio. And I want all of y'all to be prayerful, because Jesus is coming back. No one know the day or the hour. All of us have to die to receive eternal life. And we don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know how it's going to happen. But we do know why it has to happen. Because of sin. So that's our program for tonight. And I pray that God bless. I have a caller. Your number is 715. Your mic is open. This is Ms. Diane McBride. This is Illyria Mackey. You press your button.
Okay. I just wanted to bring in Revelations 3:11. It says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold thou fast with thy hands, that no man take thy crown." So we have to guard our crown.
That's right. And that's why I say you can lose them. And I mentioned that. I'm so thankful that Minister Elaria gave the actual scripture. And y'all research it and look it up. And, you know, some of you may never have heard of the five crowns. And remember, it's not for you to gain salvation, or you have to get a crown to be saved, or you have to get a crown for God to love you. God already loved you, because you got to remember, you were yet in your sin, Jesus came and took you in, to take you in. But God is one who rewards his people.
Yes,
so glory
he does.
Be to God. And thank you, Ms. Minister Mackey. And if that's it for the night, y'all know my favorite scripture for benediction, 2 Peter 3:18. Peter was asking us then, and I'm asking us now, that we would grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, and thank God. And I pray that God be with you until we meet again. God loves you, and so do I. Good night.